Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
What is up? Welcome to the Los Angeles Dodgers podcast on the Believe Network. I am JP Hornstrom with the Southern California News Group. The magic number to clinch the National League West is down to 6. The Dodgers can clinch a playoff berth as early as today. As I speak on Friday afternoon, Dodgers in San Diego for 3. They could have the division wrapped up by the end of this series on Sunday. So it's an exciting time. Sean Green and I will be talking about all of that on today's episode, bringing Sean in just a couple minutes. A couple things I wanted to direct your attention to. If you want to read about Joey Gallo and just how smoothly he has taken to the idea of not playing every day, I have a story about it up on ocregister.com and on dailynews.com. It is called Dodgers' Joey Gallo is the rare former All-Star who embraces a bench role. As long as you're there, go ahead and read my column posted on Thursday all about the minor league players' unionization effort and just how quickly it happened. You know, 2 years ago, this was just barely becoming an issue. A group of minor leaguers, ex-minor leaguers, I should say, were just coming together to form an advocacy group. And here we are, a little more than 2 years later, and they are all part of the Major League Baseball Players Association staff. They are fighting for union recognition as we speak. So, pretty interesting story affecting all levels of professional baseball in the U.S., subsequent to my speaking with Sean, Major League Baseball announced that the pitch clock, the larger bases, and the banning of infield shifts are all coming next season, 2023. So that's the big news drop for today. Now let's bring on Sean for some Dodger talk.
Sean Green, thanks for joining me as always.
Yeah, thanks for having me again.
As we speak here on Thursday, the Dodgers' magic number to clinch the National League West is down to 6. I think some people are secretly, or maybe not so secretly, expecting that the team would slow down its pace toward the end of the season as the stakes get lower and lower and the division clinching feels a little more inevitable. So far, that hasn't really happened, even though the division's been effectively locked up for weeks. And, Sean, I wanted to get your experience from your playing career. Is it harder for some guys to maintain that day-in, day-out focus when the stakes just aren't as high?
I don't think so. I mean, you look at – you got a starting pitcher every night, and that guy wants to go win his starts. You got every reliever coming in that wants to – shut the opponents down, and every hitter wants to go up there and get their hits, hit their home runs, score runs, all that stuff. So I just don't think that you lower the intensity. Clearly when the fans are abuzz and it's a high intense game, it just heightens things a little bit, but you know, just on a performance basis, everyone wants to go out there and succeed and do their best.
That's a good point. You mentioned the fans. I think it's going to be interesting to see where attendance goes here at Dodger Stadium these last few weeks of the season, because there is a little bit of history at stake even after the division is clinched. Now, if the Dodgers go 22-4, hang with me here, they will tie the 2001 Seattle Mariners and the 1906 Chicago Cubs for the most wins ever in a single season, 116. And a lot of people are talking about that. I think 22-4 is maybe a little bit much to expect, but here's the interesting one. If the Dodgers just go 13-13 the rest of the way, That will get them to 107 wins, franchise record. So literally, they can go 500 the rest of the way, and they would be the best Dodgers team of all time, at least in terms of the raw win total. And that's saying something here on September 8th. I know the verdict isn't in yet, but Sean, is it a stretch to say that we could be seeing the best Dodger team of all time?
I don't think it's a stretch. I mean, this is definitely the best Dodger generation, you know, for the last 10 years. I mean, it's been amazing. So, you know, you got to factor in what the other teams, you know, the strength of the other teams that they're playing and all that stuff. And I think there's been, you know, some teams over the last, you know, even 5 years that would give this team a good run for their money, with when you have like a healthy Kershaw and a healthy Walker Buehler and even back to Greinke. I mean, they've had some incredible teams. So it's hard to say. I mean, these guys this year are super deep and they're overcoming the injuries. And hopefully that continues. I think what's pretty amazing is how well they've done this year with some of their, going into the season, some of their, you know, biggest potential or biggest likely contributors haven't had the kind of seasons. You know, Muncy's come on great the second half, and but Cody hasn't had the type of season that you would have expected. Even after a tough year last year, you expect a little more bounce back. So I think putting all that into perspective and seeing how well they've done, just imagine, you know, if they haven't had as many injuries and have had you know, just kind of a mediocre season, you know, from start to finish for a couple of their star hitters, like it would be even better. So it's I think it's pretty amazing what they've been able to do, because they have had, you know, everyone has adversity in a 162 game season, but it seems like they've had, you know, some tough ones to overcome for most teams, but they've been able to do that. So I mean, they're definitely in that argument as the best Dodgers team ever. It's just you know, it's one of those arguments that I think you can't ever really solve or figure out.
Yeah, my operating theory was always that the 2017 team was the best, just because when you think about how many players on that roster were at or near their peak that year, Kershaw, Kenley Jansen, Justin Turner, Cody Bellinger was a Rookie of the Year that year. It just seemed like a convergence of a lot of guys at or near their peak. And even though it's a slightly different cast this year, I think you could probably say the same thing about Mookie Betts and Trey Turner and Freddie Freeman and just the pitchers. Like, this is easily the best year of Tony Gonsolin's career, to the point when he was healthy. Tyler Anderson, I think, would have to say the same thing. I think this is probably Julio Urías' best year. Notwithstanding his 20 wins of a year ago, I think if you look overall, he's kind of there. And now you step back and look at it, I've just named six guys, all-star caliber players, all having basically career years. I think it's pretty hard to take away from that when you step back and think about how many teams can say that in a given year. Not even some of the great Dodger teams of the last few years can say that.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. I mean, it really has taken those guys stepping up with the injuries and with, you know, the offensive struggles of some of the guys to be able to shuffle the lineup and have, you know, guys be able to carry the weight. And, you know, that's what a great team does, a great organization, because it's really more than just the team. You gotta have the front office, you got to have the player development, you know, all providing a funnel of players that can come in. And they've done that, you know, bringing pitchers in that you think, okay, this guy's done okay, or this guy has potential. And then all of a sudden they go into this machine that is become unstoppable. And that's why I think to be a Dodger fan right now is just incredible, because it's not like, you know, some teams throw together, you know, a bunch of guys, and you can kind of see the writing on the wall that after the season they're going to, you know, or in a year or two, they're going to just dismantle and start over. But, you know, kind of like the Nationals or whatever. But here you have a team that it's so much more than a team, and it's a vision, and it's an ongoing. I don't know. I mean, there's been some great dynasties, the Braves of the 90s, the Yankees of the mid 90s to 2000s, but it just doesn't feel like anyone has had this formula and this core foundation of a just organization in place before.
I saw a stat today that the Dodgers could become the first team ever to win 106 games in 1 year and then actually win more games the following season. That's never happened before. You talk about dismantling teams, like, you know, they're chasing the 2001 Mariners for the best record of all time. What happened to those 2001 Mariners in 02 and 03 and 04? Like, it's crazy, but that's actually more typical of what happens than what we see the Dodgers doing the last few years.
Yeah, without a doubt. And that's kind of back to your point about guys having some career years, and that's going to happen. You have it's a few career years from guys that you weren't expecting, and some, you know, solid years from maybe the stars or whatever it is, and all of a sudden the team wins a bunch of games. And here it's almost like, okay, you see the career years, but, you know, next year, who knows what happens with Trey Turner, and, you know, you'll have these other guys, Mookie and Freddie, back. But then maybe next year, you know, Muncy goes off and hits 40 home runs. And so
right.
You know, he has a career year. So it's just, there's so many guys that have the ability in this Dodger organization to be stars. I mean, you almost the entire roster has the ability with a career year to have an MVP or Cy Young quality year that, you know, the odds are there's going to be a couple guys that really lock in and play well. And you figure most guys will kind of be somewhere in their kind of sweet spot average, you know, production. But yeah, when you have a team that like the Mariners that had a few guys in 2001, it's easy to see why they, you know, fall off the next year or like do a quick dismantle and start over.
Yeah, Sean, I'm going to spring you with this pop quiz here. Do you remember how your 2001 Dodgers did against the 2001 Mariners?
I do remember. I mean, we played them one series, and
yep.
I know we lost the series. I feel like we lost 2 out of 3.
That's right.
Yeah, so we might have got swept. Yeah.
You got it. You got it. So you guys lost 13-0 in game one. Freddie Garcia's complete game shutout. The second game, game two, that's the one I would have chosen to attend. That was a 2-1 Dodger win, ended on an Adrian Beltre walk-off home run. And then you lost the finale 9-2. But, Sean, you personally, you went 2-for-11 with a walk and a strikeout in the three games. So,
yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah, you did more than most guys against
okay.
The best team of all time. You know, one thing September has historically brought is a whole bunch of minor leaguers populating the dugout, getting their first taste of big league action. September call-ups were an annual tradition, and that was when rosters could expand to 40 every year. And this year we don't have that. A couple years ago they capped the number of roster spots at 28 across the board. And so you only get two call-ups, and we saw Miguel Vargas come up, and the Dodgers are keeping an extra reliever in the bullpen. I want to get your thoughts on that. Like, do you prefer this system where it's just the 28, or did you like the old way when the bench was full of minor leaguers and you never knew who was going to bat or pitch next?
Yeah, see, I think there's some drawbacks to bringing up too many guys. I know for a while the Dodgers are bringing up, like, tons, almost the whole roster.
Yeah.
And it just creates, when you're an everyday player, it's awesome when you get called up. You know, in September, I got called up in 93 and actually got a World Series ring out of it in Toronto. But it's awesome from that perspective. But then when you're an everyday player, there's just too many guys. So you want to go to the cage, and the young guys are getting their work in, excited. And it's probably easier in the stadiums nowadays. Most of them are newer, have better facilities. But the locker rooms could be overcrowded. I remember we had a double up in lockers in Milwaukee or some of the places that had a smaller facilities. So like from that perspective, I didn't like it. I also think it puts too much question into teams that are out of it when they're playing a team that's in the race, whether or not they're going to throw the the double-A pitcher against a team that's, you know, vying for a playoff spot. Like, I don't like having that flexibility either. So I think that's another drawback of having too many guys. But I think two guys is a little light. I think the sweet spot would be 4 to 5 guys, because I think it's every team should be able to call up a third catcher if they don't have three, which most don't.
Sure.
And I think, you know, a couple of pitchers, even to have like a fast guy to, you know, to pinch run is great. And you know, then maybe a, you know, hopefully one or two of those guys are top prospects, but it's good to have, you know, those, the guys that are going to make the team next year, they get a little taste. So I think maybe 5 is kind of the right number. But I don't know why they settled on 2. I don't know what the thought process was there, but it's, you know, I think it's a little light.
Yeah, I'm not sure either. If I had to guess, it was probably a negotiation between some of the big market teams, like the Dodgers, like you mentioned, who can certainly afford to keep, you know, up to 40 guys making the major league minimum around for a full month. Whereas if you're a small market team, you're out of the postseason, maybe you're not as incentivized to do that. And maybe that's a little bit more of an ask. I think I'm with you. I think I like the idea of 4 to 5. If you look at this year's Dodger team, like, there are some guys down at AAA who are performing, a couple of whom have already performed at the big league level. Like, James Outman came up and had an amazing series in Colorado. He went back to AAA and he's like hitting for the cycle every other day.
Right.
It would be amazing to watch at the big league level, but 2 spots don't allow it. So, yeah, I'm with you. I'm on team 4 to 5 roster spots. That's a good call.
Yeah, no, it just seems to make sense. I know, yeah, I mean, when the Dodgers, I think when I got called up in 93, there was probably about 8 of us is what I would guess.
Okay.
So, you know, and usually there's an extra left-handed reliever, and there's, like I said, an extra catcher and a couple fast guy or two. It's definitely, you know, a guy who can start in a pinch if someone's sore, they want to give the rotation, you know, a little mix up or rest or push everyone back. So I think those types of things are really helpful when you got a team, particularly that is in the Dodgers position, that is, you know, going to clinch really early and you want to be able to cycle some rest days. But on the flip side, yeah, having 12 or 13 guys is a little bit ridiculous.
Did you ever have to play a September series at Wrigley Field as a visiting player?
That's a good question. I did Fenway for sure.
Okay.
I don't remember playing Wrigley. Actually, I think we did. I think guys had a double of blockers. But yeah, it's super tight, and the cage is, you know, in right field. You can barely even get to the cage. Like, so yeah, it's that makes it really tough. And there, you know, when I played, there was more stadiums like that, like Tiger Stadium. And, you know, that was another one that we went to in September, and it does take away from, you know, the everyday guys who need to get their work in. It kind of feels a little bit like spring training, and the guys coming up a lot sometimes are, you know, sometimes they're younger and maybe a little. It's good for them to see how focused the big league guys are, but sometimes they could be distracting because they're maybe a little louder, joking around, and so it's like, hey, it's time to work here, guys. You know, this isn't, you know, a double or triple A game where there's, you know, 3,000 people in the stands. This is like, you gotta let these guys do their thing.
I would have loved to have seen that that September series in Wrigley. The visitors clubhouse, if any of you listening have never been, it's basically an oversized walk-in closet. And
right.
I'm surprised you guys weren't tripling up lockers. Doubling seems a little bit light, but I guess you managed to pull it off. on that note, Sean, I'm going to let you go. Thanks, as always, for joining me. And it's going to be exciting to see how the Dodgers finish this season out here without about a month to play, chasing some history.
Yeah, that's going to be exciting. And then I think October is going to be even better. So, you know, good thoughts. And hopefully they could get that 22-4. That'd be something special.
That'd be really cool. Thanks again, Sean.
All right. Thanks, JP.
Thanks again to Sean Green for hopping on the podcast. I don't say this every week, but it's still true that if you could rate, review, and subscribe, it will help keep this podcast going. I appreciate it. Enjoy your weekend, folks. We'll be back next week, probably talking about a division champion. Be well.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.